The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
And a very good morning to you all. This is Ryan Tubridy on Wednesday morning, the 22nd of May, 2019, at 4 minutes past nine. We're here till 10 o'clock. 51551 is the text number. Email ryan@rte.ie. I mentioned that I was at the Junior Entrepreneur Programme in the RDS on Monday. And it was great fun. All the, you know what children hate? They hate being called children, particularly when they're about 10, 11, 12. So I met loads of younger people hanging around. And they were great. And I say that they were great in a dismissive way. They were tremendous. And they were great fun. And they had these great ideas. I was just thinking about them. And I got a few messages and emails in from various younger people as they were saying, oh, sorry, I missed you. And I would have liked to have got a selfie or an autograph. And I did as many as I can, and as you would when you're in these circumstances. And great. So why am I banging on about it? Well, this email came in that really kind of caught our attention. From a guy called Alec. And he says, Ryan, myself and my classmates and teachers from Skull Alva in Thurles were at the Junior Entrepreneur Programme in the RDS on Monday. Didn't get to see you, but one of the other lads met you and got your autograph. And this was the thing about it. They all had these kind of lanyard things and had a card on it, and they all wanted them signed. And that's what happened. It was very unusual normally, but because there were so many of them, you just signed as many as possible, which is different. On the bus journey home, he says, I negotiated hard with this other guy and I bought your autograph from him for 4 chocolate minstrels. Now, this is pretty... I didn't know the currency of the school bus is pretty much minstrels. But you know when you're in school and when you get hungry in school, it's a different type of hunger than you'll ever get again in your life. There's a school hunger that hits you at about 11 o'clock, maybe half 10, thereabouts. And it's about twice the pang of a normal hunger pang. And you're growing. School hunger is different to any other class of hunger you'll ever have again. So 4 minstrels, probably, I'm thinking it's probably quite valuable, actually, for my fragile ego. But it says it worked out. He then went on to work it out. This is a young entrepreneur, probably about 12, 13 years of age. Worked it out that if you can sign your name, Ryan, 40 times a minute, then you could make 9,600 minstrels an hour, which would be very, that would suit me as a sweet tooth guy. Minstrels, Maltesers, depending on the sweet, wouldn't do it with a packet of Revels because you wouldn't know what's going to come out of that bag. That's just confectionery roulette. Can't be dealing with it. Anyway, Alex says, your autograph is now safely put away in my secret compartment. I didn't know you had one, but I'm glad you have one. Thank you to all my teachers. It was great fun. Alec. 4 chocolate minstrels. See, Alec is the future. He's horse trading autographs at the back of the bus for minstrels. I just love the nature of that story, and I think, Alec, you're a smart young man, and I look forward to meeting you and giving you, you know, signature of your own so that you can maybe give the other one back and then your minstrels in, or quids in, as we might have said. But there you are. That was just a little addendum from the trip to that event in the RDS. On Monday, it's all about the minstrels. Now, what have we... I mean, kind of a... mix and gather of stories in the papers for you this morning. They're saying on joe.ie, they're very excited on joe.ie because I went to see them once. I did an interview with who was it? Dion Fanning there about a year ago or so. And I went in and met all the heads in the office at joe.ie. And they're very much, you know, they're down to business. A lot of sport, a lot of movies, a lot of Game of Thrones. That's the kind of thing you can see from what they're interested in. And nice bunch of people. And they work back-to-back with her.ie. Equally good bunch of people. And good fun. But the Joe guys, you think, yeah, they're probably quite serious. You know, they're kind of, you know, 20-something, 30-something young men. Mostly young women. But we got an insight into them today on their site, because they're very excited about the fact that Lidl have a bouncy castle for €35. They are very happy about this. And they say it's tiny. They say, like, it's really tiny. So tiny that you'll probably only be able to sit in it. But if you have a little one running around your house, or a small niece or nephew or cousin, we're sure, they write, that they'd have great crack in it once the sun decides to come out, which it is in certain parts of the country, I know this. But it's from the Lidl We Love Summer Fun range, which launches on Thursday. That's tomorrow. And as with all knickknacks from Lidl, it will no doubt sell out fast. So we'd be number one in the queue for it when shops open on Thursday morning. And there's a picture of it, and it is tiny. Like, you wouldn't get lost in it. Would first suit first-time buyer in the modern market, and it's 35 quid. The fun-size bouncy castle as available as of tomorrow. Now, the birds are going completely crazy in the morning. The bird song, the noise that I lived by the sea for a year or two. And you'd get a different class of bird song from the gulls at 5 o'clock in the morning or earlier. But of late, I'm now closer to trees, which is much more beautiful bird song in my book. But the noise is insane. I can now hear the kind of rat-a-tat-tat of the magpie, or the kind of more bronchial sound of the crow, and then the sweeter sound of the sparrows and the you know, blue tits and all the rest of them. But apparently pessimism is infectious among, of all the birds, ravens. Ravens get a bad rap, and people call somebody, might say, you're a bird brain. But actually, birds are much more intelligent than they get credit for, as we probably know, particularly crows and the like. But the findings in this show that, like humans and primates, they possess, this is ravens, a level of emotional affinity and awareness that would be of interest to you. So what they did was they denied a bird the promise of tasty food. And when a second bird was introduced to watch this, they showed a suspicion of other offerings and erred on the side of cynicism. In other words, they shared empathy with other ravens and moderated their behaviour accordingly. And so they say that emotional contagion has been suggested to facilitate such information transmission, yet it remains difficult to measure this in animals. So they found that negative emotional contagion in ravens, and in turn advance our understanding of the evolution or of empathy. Previously, ravens have been shown to have far higher stress levels when flocking together in adolescent gangs than when living in territorial pairs as adults. In other words, they're smart birds. Now, after Kurt Cobain, he did a show with Nirvana in 1990, and he was having a snack before the show. And what do you do when you're having a snack before the show and you're Kurt Cobain in 1990? You have a few slices of pizza. There are very few things as delicious as two slices of pizza and a can of Coke in New York City on a hot day. Absolutely extraordinary and delicious and easy and cheap, but gorgeous meal. For me, a banquet. Delicious. Anyway, part that, not to mention the hot dogs, which I find delicious there, with the right chilled soft drink. Back to Kurt Cobain. He was having his two slices of pizza before his gig. And then what he said was, what are we doing for the gig? Oh yeah, we need to write down the set list, Kurt. So he took out his pen, and on the filthy old paper plate that he'd just eaten his pizza slices, he wrote down about 12 songs, the set list for the gig. Great. And what happened? Another guy from a band called Thud was there, and he spotted the plate after the gig. And he took the plate and he said, I'll have that, thank you very much. Just, you never know. And how right he was, because the plate, valued at an auction last week at around 1,000 euro, sold for $22,000. So just sniff around. You never know. When you see Bono having a slice of cake, see what the plate is, get him to sign. You know, just you never know. $22,400 to correct it. That's exactly what it was worth. So good on him. Sesame Street, big fan. Mentioned the Muppets yesterday. Also big fan of Sesame Street. They have a new kid on the block there called Carly. New Muppet. Carly, a young Muppet in foster care living with her, for now, parents, Dahlia and Clem. And you know, Sesame Street has always been kind, it's always been educational, and it's always been entertaining. Sometimes education and entertainment don't go together. And sometimes people who think they're being entertaining while they're teaching simply are just shouting at the kids. But when they get it right, like Sesame Street, it's a joy. So the introduction of Carly, it's part of a new initiative from the show to offer support to children and to foster parents and to the providers. So one of the videos that they've released, well worth going up online to see, shows the little child struggling with feeling left out at a pizza party. Another shows Elmo's dad chatting with Dahlia and Clem, the parents, about how they're finding fostering. And then the little foster Muppet is also seen sharing an art project with Elmo that shows that even though she might feel like her heart is breaking, it can get bigger at the same time when more love is added. What a lovely message for children in a world gone mad. Anyway, it's Sesame Street, foster Muppet called Carly, K-A-R-L-I, if you're interested. I think that's a lovely thing to do and a lovely place to go compared to the crazy world of social media influencing The Huffington Post did a big thing on it. They talked to a whole heap of plastic surgeons, and they said, what have you noticed most about younger people coming into you for plastic surgery? And the bottom line is, I was kind of plowing my way through the piece, which says, the bottom line says seems to be that people, it's not enough to have a filter. They have what's called Snapchat dysmorphia, where younger people, presumably it's younger people mostly, want to come in, and rather than have to go to the bother of filtering their pictures, they want this plastic surgeon to permanently give them a physical filter so they don't have to bother with it anymore. And that's called Snapchat dysmorphia. Welcome to 2019. Everybody said, one of the facial cosmetic surgeons, everybody wants a quick fix, a magic surgery that fixes everything, mainly because they want to look good in their selfies. They don't want to go to the gym. They don't want to go on a diet for 6 months or a year. They want to take their selfies now, and they take selfies every day. They just want to look good and don't want to use filters or makeup. So they go to the plastic surgeon and say, fix this. Snapchat the BJs out of my face and make me permanently Snapchattable and Snapchatted. Other things they notice, people in real life don't see us from the same angles we see ourselves in photos. It's way too easy to focus on the little things on Instagram, even though no one is looking at you that closely. Staring at filtered images of ourselves and others can lead to unrealistic expectations. No surprise there. And trends are influencing us to do dramatic procedures that we may someday regret. So tread carefully, for you tread on our faces. Donna Corby is writing in the Irish Daily Mirror today to say that a school GAA team pulled off a stunning comeback after rallying from 26 points down at halftime to win by 4. What a great comeback. Offaly's Colossal Cullum were dominating Wexford's CBS Enniscorthy. 5 goals, 11 points, 5-11 to 0-0 at the break on Monday. And things were looking bad for the Model County first-year teens. But whatever manager Peter Devine, what a great name under the circumstances, Peter Devine, whatever he said to his troops, did the trick, as the underdogs came out on the right side of a 6-12 to 11-1 full-time score. Wow, well done. What a great comeback and a great story all round. Here's a man you don't see too much of these days. Moby, who you'll be familiar with down through the 90s mostly, is in the papers today, the Times Ireland edition. Matthew Moore writing that Moby and Natalie Portman, the beautiful actress, are having a bit of a standoff over a story that Moby included in his autobiography. He says, it's all true. She says, I don't remember any of that. It's a kind of creepy. So what happened? Here's the detail. It's quite a claim from a 53-year-old musician who once nurtured a reputation as a clean-living, vegan Christian. So Moby's account of dating Natalie Portman is detailed at some length in his new memoir. He says, Natalie Portman was a beautiful movie star, but there she was in my dressing room flirting with me. And the actress, who's 16 years Moby's junior, is depicted as an adoring young admirer. The only problem is that it is not at all how Portman remembers it. She, who's an Oscar-winning star, has accused Moby of creepy behaviour and denied that they ever had a romantic relationship. So in an interview, she claims that that Moby's autobiography is full of factual errors and inventions. She says, I was surprised to hear that he characterised the very short time that I knew him as dating, because my recollection is a much older man being creepy with me when I had just graduated high school. He said, I was 20. I definitely wasn't. I was a teenager. I'd just turned 18. There was no fact-checking from him or his publisher. It almost feels deliberate that he used this story to sell his book. It was very distressing for me. Be careful, Moby, when you're thinking back to the stories about relationships that you may or may not have been in. Steady as she goes. Quick one on some kind of early in the week movie reviews, but it's only because they're films that are of great interest to me, so I'll share them with you. Certainly Aladdin is getting very mediocre reviews. I'll go and see it, but they're just not loving it. It got 3 stars today. It just seems to be, they're calling Curious Missteps in Guy Ritchie's Disney remake. But the one I'm dying to see, and it's coming at us so soon, August 14th, that's ages away, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is the Tarantino movie. That's got 5 big stars, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, can't go wrong. And then musically, one of the most bizarre musical double acts of recent times is Sting and Shaggy. Sting and Shaggy. I saw them on TV a while ago, and they obviously became friendly and they're doing the rounds. But it gets 5 stars, a 5-star review. They obviously did something Pretty impressive. James Hall writes today, "My goodness, it was fun. I was going to give this concert 4 stars because in the review world, 5 stars are reserved for infinitely credible, genre-defining shows. But my ear-to-ear grin on the tube journey home convinced me otherwise. Sometimes it pays to let your guard down." Well, there you are. I mean, it is amazing. Shaggy had a massive hit some time ago. Will we let our guard down and play Shaggy? Should we do it? Do you want this? I mean, are we getting into this?